You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are visiting with Dr. Stephen Blank, one of the country's real duty experts on Russia. And before that, the Soviet Union. He is most accomplished in his writings on this subject, his teachings on the matter, and we're always delighted to have him visit with us. Dr. Blank, we were talking about political warfare and economic warfare as parts of this dynamic, relationship, shall we say, with the Russians. Let's turn to another matter that you have been deeply knowledgeable about for a long time, and that is Russia's strategic military capabilities. And I'm particularly interested as we look at the Trump national security strategy and the defense strategy that has flowed from it, the emphasis that is now being given by the U.S. government to Russia once again as a strategic competitor at best, if not a hostile adversary. And one facet of that, of course, is this remarkable and quite alarming, really, strategic force modernization program and even theater forces as well. Would you give us sort of an overview of your sense of what the Russians have been up to and its implications?
Well, the Russian government believes that it's at war with the West. I mean, they have said so. They are conducting themselves accordingly. And they cannot compete with the United States, let alone NATO, in the conventional sphere. So they have put their priority in nuclear weapons. And, of course, they have other reasons, because nuclear weapons allow them to feel equal to the United States. It's a place where they are equal, in a sense, strategically or politically, and because it gives them a sense of being a great power. Nevertheless, they have, and Mark Schneider, whom you often have, and whom I've worked with on this, will tell you this. They have over 20 programs going now to modernize either existing Soviet-era nuclear weapons or build new ones. They are brandishing nuclear threats all over Europe and against the United States. They have a doctrine. I mean, the doctrine is regarded here in the United States as saying that Russia will use nuclear weapons in a first strike mode. If they think they are losing, they will escalate a war in order to de-escalate it. I think that's actually incorrect. I think the broader and more accurate strategy is that Russia is building all these nuclear weapons in order to be able to dominate escalation control throughout all the stages of a crisis. That is, if a crisis begins, they can start brandishing the nukes in order to try and force people to get their way without having to go to a protracted war, or they can launch a quick, what they think will be a quick war, and use the nuclear weapon to inhibit a NATO response. Now, that strategy has led them, therefore, to invest in both long- and short-range weapons, as well as not just weapons that target military targets, counter-force weapons, but what we call counter-value weapons, like this monstrous Status 6 torpedo that is underwater nuclear weapons launched by submarines and has no purpose other than to take out civilian targets and cause the greatest possible carnage.
This is the weapon that is assessed to have a 100 megaton warhead, is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, a vast, I mean, unimaginably vast weapon.
Right, hypersonic speed, I think, also, if I'm right. You have to check that.
Underwater, I'm not so sure about that, but I know it is a high-speed torpedo.
Right, so high-speed torpedo. It could take out, for example, Baltimore Harbor, just to give you readers an example.
Forgive me, sir, but I think probably a considerable part of the East Coast of the United States, as a matter of fact. But what I'm interested in is, having worked on these issues for many years, I'm struck by the fact that this is going on, this extraordinary investment, and you mentioned 20 programs. Those are, of course, nuclear weapons as well as modern delivery systems. It's hard for me to believe, having cut my teeth during the Cold War, that this kind of threat could be developing and metastasizing without the United States regarding this as an absolutely strategic peril for us. There is now, as I mentioned, these new strategic documents. The president's got a new nuclear posture review, And it's sober and it's thoughtful and it seems to be, you know, headed in the right direction. But is it remotely sufficient in light of the fact, as you see it, at least Dr. Blank, that the buildup is quite astonishing? And Mark Schneider, you mentioned, warns that it is going to be violating not only the INF treaty, the Theater Forces Treaty today, but the New START treaty in the future.
Yes, well, the response, I suspect, is as good as we're going to get, because the only way you can counter this strategy is if Congress authorizes and appropriates the money to devise counter strategies, whatever those might be. And, you know, I live in, like you, in, you know, in the Washington area, and just look around us. The government is closed again today because we can't get a budget out of Congress.
I think they did get something.
The Senate voted at about 2 o'clock in the morning. But again, but still, the workers are not there today. And this goes on every 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks.
It's hard to contemplate a strategic force modernization program on this basis, isn't it?
Right. You can't do that. You can't build a strategy on this basis. Now, but the document, I think, is as good, if not better, than anything we've seen in a long time from any administration. And it really does set out, I think, the threat. Now, you know, there's going to be a debate about this, but the fact of the matter is that we have steadily diminished the role of nuclear weapons since 1991. And along with the Russians, we've destroyed or eliminated thousands of nuclear weapons after 1991. The Russians now are coming back to this. I believe the Chinese are too. And of course, we have proliferators. So there does need to be a strategy instead of just simply saying we're going to do nothing and you just protest. Experience has shown, and you know this from your own government service, that the only way you get meaningful arms control reductions from the Russians is when they are afraid that we're going to develop a capability that they cannot match.
Right. And at this point, that's not in prospect. So we've got to get about it, it seems to me, to be certain. As we look forward, Dr. Blank, and we won't be able to do justice to it, but could you just outline in the shortest of terms what a strategy should be for the United States, given what you've described in terms of the various facets of a Russian threat at the moment?
The strategy has to be multi-pronged. It has to include diplomacy. Information that is countering, not only resisting Russian cyber and information attacks on American networks, but also on bringing information to Russian-speaking communities and to our allies and other communities abroad that tells the truth and exposes the lies that come out of Moscow. It also needs to be military, and that we have to sustain deterrence both in Europe and Asia, as well as be prepared for Russian machinations in places like the Middle East and elsewhere. And it needs to be economic. I would do more about getting economic warfare, such as I would increase sanctions. I think the Trump administration missed the boat on Tuesday when they didn't. I think you need to be doing more in terms of exporting energy to Europe to deprive Russia of markets there, although that's difficult. And we need to sustain the American economy for the long run, because we have to be the foundation of all of our other power is economics, and we have to generate economic power on a steady basis.
Yeah, something that is not evident in the stock market at the moment, that's for sure. Dr. Blank, thank you very much for your time today. As always, we appreciate it and the work you do these days at the American Foreign Policy Council. I hope we'll visit with you often in 2018. Heavens knows we need your insights and expertise.